104.7, Andy and Mel at 7:07, topping out at 52 today. Got a chance of some rain. Yay. So, I don't know if you saw this the other night. It was on Sunday. The Mythbusters proved what many people have held for a very, 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 very long time. And that was that at the end, or towards the end of the movie Titanic.
Yeah.
That Jack could have been saved.
He could have fit on that board.
He could have fit on the board. People have been debating this for years. And the Mythbusters proved that, yes, indeed, they could have saved Jack. How would they have done this?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I had the audio clip, but apparently I don't have it here. So, there it is. Okay, here's what went down on the show.
Well, the good news is the movie got it right as far as hypothermia. Jack would have drowned and Rose would have been able to hang on long enough to be rescued.
The bad news is, based on our experiments, we have to find that they both could have survived on that board.
Really?
There were a couple of things, and the first was that we were able to retie the life preserver that Rose was wearing underneath the board, and that gave it more buoyancy.
And we were able to prop up our bodies on the board so that most of our body mass was actually outside of the water. Based on that, we got to say, this is plausible. Rose and Jack could have survived.
I think you guys are missing the point here.
James Cameron.
The script says Jack dies. He has to die. So maybe we screwed up and the board should have been a little tiny bit smaller, but the dude's going down.
I can't argue with that.
No.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that part is true. And the movie wouldn't have been as good if he lived.
I think it would have been a nice romantic ending.
No.
That they would have been together.
He had to die. He had to die. Because otherwise, it wasn't this long-lost love. I mean, that's the anguish of the whole, you know, the little old lady.
Yeah,
and
I
her big $80 million diamond she chucks into the water like an idiot. Yeah. So, anyway, myth. Busted. Well, not busted, actually. Plausible. Who would have thought to tie the life jacket underneath, though?
That's what I was just going
to
say.
I wouldn't have thought to do that, probably. Mm-mm. And to do that, you would have had to have gotten off of the board and into that freezing cold water. So, anyway. But it's plausible. They could have done it. Okay. They could have survived. And if you watch the video's on our website, hot1047.com. They were both on top of it, just... And the board is, I mean, hardly any other bodies in the water. So now that that's taken care of.
Yeah, now that we know that.
Phew!
You know.
That's big relief.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. We've got news on the way and a whole bunch of reaction to your garage sale being illegal. If you didn't hear us talk about it earlier, in 10 minutes you'll hear all about it. Hang on.
Morning, sunshine. Good morning.
Maybe I wanted to know when I'm going to ovulate today.
Andy and Mel. Hot 104.7.
Hot 104.7, Andy and Mel. It's 7:19, up to 52 today. Got a 40% chance of rain. Yay. It's 49 right now. So it turns out that if you go all ranty on politics on Facebook, it might get you defriended.
Duh.
Or unfriended, whatever
unfriended.
You want to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Southeastern Louisiana University conducted a study where they asked 24 people. Half were Democrats, half were Republicans, about how they posted their political beliefs on their social media sites. What they found is that most people post to point out misconceptions, combat media, and share their personal views. Unfortunately, about half of their posts caused at least one person to defriend them.
I get annoyed with it.
I don't care.
Passed by it when I'm reading my newsfeed. I don't read it.
Yeah, I don't. Unless it's, I'll read it just to see if it was funny.
Right.
But usually based on the person posting it, you know whether or not it's going to be funny or they're trying to be Fox News anchor guy.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't listen or read any of the rants and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, all because of the racket that is college textbooks, we might not have garage sales or eBay anymore because there's a court case going to the Supreme Court they're going to hear oral arguments on the 29th of this month to determine whether or not it is legal for us to sell our stuff that was made overseas a second time without permission from the manufacturer or copyright holder.
So ridiculous.
It is a little bit. Kayla's on the phone. How are you, Kayla?
I'm pretty good. I call you guys about every day.
Yeah?
But this gets me, this whole thing right here. This is another way for them to screw the economy. Think about how many people don't just go garage sailing for junk, but for their kids' clothes. This is going to force us to buy everything new. People don't have the money for this. They don't.
No, and the thing is, I don't see how they can enforce this. Now,
I just don't think they're going to be able
to. It's going to hurt like eBay a lot more than it's going to hurt Joe Blow's garage sale.
I don't trust people and their whole scams, and I've heard a lot of bad things.
Well, if you're careful who you buy from, if you buy from somebody who has a super high good rating.
Yeah, you got to check their ratings.
You can trust them.
Yeah.
You know, random Joe Schmo with like a 3 rating. Yeah, I would skip them. But I don't think it's going to hurt garage sales, really. I mean, in a technical sense, you would not be able to sell your stuff if it was made overseas. And this is only the stuff that was made overseas.
Well, then how about we start charging them the stuff, send our stuff over to them to make it?
Well, that's going to be part of this.
There's all kinds of technicalities. This is so stupid. You didn't hear the first day of my anatomy class. I go to NAU. The first day of my anatomy class, my professor says, "What book do you have?" And I said, "The 13th edition." He's like, "Big deal. They added 20 pages and upped the price $80. He said, "If you guys have the 12th edition, that'll work just fine by me." He
yeah.
hands out PowerPoints. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, have you noticed that in your classes that they don't, that your some of your professors don't really go off the book so much?
I have no. I mean, I have 2 classes. And there's still 10.5 credits because my anatomy and physiology class alone is 6.5. But he's probably one of the coolest people that I've had, like, as an instructor. And he's actually a nurse, so he works in the field, too. But he does PowerPoints, and it's not even, like, there's some stuff in the book, like, for our labs. They're virtual, so we have to have that book. But, I mean, even our Strategies for Success feature, like, we have to have one of the books, but she said the other one you don't have to get if you don't want to.
Yeah, I remember a professor saying that, too. Well, thank you.
Because they even know.
Yeah, they know it's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The college textbooks is like legalized mafia, basically.
It is.
I think it's funny how America's supposed to be a free country, but yet we want to charge up the ass for everything we do.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to make some money.
It's
money.
Supposed to be a free market economy, so yeah, this is my stuff. Why can't I sell it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? The thing is, I don't think you need to get too wound up because I seriously doubt that it's going to be enforceable when it comes to garage sales.
I just
you
can't
know?
See that
yeah,
happening.
I don't garage sale that much, but I know that my aunt and grandma do, and that's how I've gotten a lot of my son's clothes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
some
that's...
of the stuff you can get there, you go in Children's Place in the mall. I'm not spending $40 on a pair of jeans for a 2-year-old that's going to grow out of them in 6 months.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. That's the same way with my wife.
I'm on my own jeans.
Well, thank you for the call, Kayla.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm right there with everybody. This might be the dumbest thing. I mean, of all the stories I ever thought I could wake up in the morning to find, the fact that garage sales could possibly become outlawed, or at least the things you sell on them, a majority of them could be outlawed, was never one that ever crept into my mind.
It's just a ridiculous notion. I mean, seriously, think about all the different places that will close down if they're not allowed to sell that stuff.
I know. Well, and another thing, too, like with video games, the new systems that are on the horizon,
mm-hmm.
like the PS4 or whatever it's going to be, they're going to make it so that the games are not transferable. Like, you could not trade them in or give them, like, it would be like a computer program. One license, one computer, that's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the direction those are going, too.
Jeez.
Which,
so
I
you
get
better
it.
Really like the game.
Yeah.
But you don't like the game. That just sucks.
I know. I think it'll, I don't know. The established games, it won't hurt them. You know, the Maddens and Call of Duties
right.
of the world. But, you know, some of the other newer ones are going to be a little tougher. They're going to have to come down on their prices.
Exactly.
For people to, you know, try it. But then there's always the reviews and, you know, there's a million websites
yeah.
for everything out there. So. The phones are already ringing, 361-5557, email or text am@hot1047.com. It is 7:25 now at Hot 104.7.
This is the Hot Morning Show on Hot 104.7.
104.7, Andy and Mel. It is 7:40. We're going to top out at 52 today. There is a chance of rain, and the number today, brought to you by Nate, is 69. That is the first digit in the number to crack the vault on Friday. Hopefully we actually get all three numbers this week and have a true combination to win the $50 party tab to the vault.
Today's number is Jared Allen.
Yeah. Well, you might have ruined his theme that he was going for there, but...
Well, he could have a theme, and that's
or
okay.
He could just have his mind in the gutter. I don't know.
Probably
anyway,
gutter.
Tomorrow, we are going to be live at the Juice Stop, 57th and Louise, from 6:30 until... They open their doors at 6:30 until 10 o'clock when we're all done. We are going to buy your smoothie for you. 12-ounce smoothie on us. Just stop down. If you want to upgrade to a large... then that's only $1. And any of the extras you want, like if you want a protein shot, that still costs extra.
Some wheatgrass and stuff.
But 12-ounce smoothie on us tomorrow morning, 6:30 to 10 at the 57th and Louise Juice Stop, and only that location.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's our thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And we hope you stop by. It's going to be awesome. And we're going to help you get healthy.
And enjoy some Juice Stop on top of it. That's kind of a no-brainer. Oh, I love me some Juice Stop. Anyway. So, there was a girl, I knew it, but I didn't know it. I knew that there were drinks that they served that would look all steamy, but yeah. I didn't know how they did it.
I've actually had one before.
And they do it with liquid nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And, an 18-year-old in the UK, where she is old enough to go to a bar, was rushed to a hospital complaining of breathlessness and stomach pain after she was diagnosed with a perforated stomach. She's in serious but stable condition. She probably would have died if left untreated. Basically, it was because of the liquid nitrogen in the drink. It should not be consumed while it's still liquid because it turns into gas that causes the stomach to expand and burst.
Oh.
So imagine like after you ate a really big meal.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I'm so full.
Yeah.
Well, that times 10.
So like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving like three times in one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had drinks with the liquid nitrogen before, but I don't drink it while it's still liquid. Usually you wait for all that to finish doing its thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it didn't sound like the bar did anything wrong because her friends were just fine. Maybe she had a reaction to it.
That could be.
That's could also be part of it. But this story about the resale law. Basically, anything made overseas would not be legal for you to sell without permission from the manufacturer slash copyright holder. Kind of a tough deal here.
Stupid.
There's going to be a court case on October 29th to determine, actually in the Supreme Court, to determine whether or not we're going to be allowed to keep having our garage sales, because most of our crap is made overseas.
Right.
Which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, so basically you'd be left with a handful of coats, probably a vehicle or two, and your baseball cap.
Think of all this. I mean, people are already hoarders.
Oh,
think how worse this would make the hoarding.
let's see. Richard's on the phone. How are you, Richard?
Oh, pretty good. Just on my way to school.
Yeah. So what's up?
Yeah, I think when you buy that property, I think it becomes your property. So therefore, you have the right to do with it whatever you want after that point. When you bought it, you bought all rights to that property. You bought the copyright.
You didn't buy the copyright. You don't have the right to redistribute music. Like, you can't make a bunch of copies of a CD and sell them.
Right.
You know, that but you cannot do.
But if it's an item, I mean,
if it's a sweater.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, when it comes to music and movies and games, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But when it comes to just stuff, like my skis that I haven't used in 2 years, you know, I should be able to sell those.
Sell them.
And if they're made in the U.S., that wouldn't change. But if they're made overseas, that's where this comes in.
So when you're setting up a garage sale, you're supposed to look at every single item and see where it was made.
Oh, I finally found the tag on my hat. My hat was made in the U.S.
Oh, good.
So I could sell my Twins hat.
Okay. Not that you'd want to.
Not that
could.
I want to. Or anyone would want to buy my stinky old Twins hat. But anyway, thank you for the call, Richard.
It, no.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Rob's on the phone. How are you, Rob?
I'm heading to work.
Yeah?
I've talked a little bit about what you got on the radio here. You know, the easy way around a lot of it here is just cut the part off that says made in wherever.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cut it off.
People will be cutting tags off clothes. Yeah. I don't know where it was made.
Usually it's just the back one. There's two tags. The back one's got the place of origin. The one with the size on it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
Just take it off.
The only problem where that would come in, like this text that I just got here that says, so what happens with pawn shops and Plato's Closet and whatnot? Well, like Plato's, I mean, they're selling name brands, and right. You know where name brands are made.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, and I don't know, is there any clothing made in the U.S. outside of some coats?
I don't know.
And some heavier, I mean, like your average person's clothing, I would guess 80% of it is made overseas.
I don't know. I don't know where they're all being made at. I mean, you don't hear
China.
Very many clothes shops, you know, where they're sewing them up here.
Yeah, not, you know? I mean.
Or if you do, they're the expensive ones.
Well, and that's usually because the labor isn't as cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my thing with that, too, is but if you take it off, the burden of proof is on them. Where was it made? Where they got a catalog showing where every piece was made?
Right.
I mean, just, come on, this is crazy.
It would be so impossible to enforce.
You'd have to
get a whole new government entity to enforce pawn shops and Plato's Closet and garage sales and online. And I mean, just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it would be the DOG, Department of Garage Sales. That's
D-O-G-S.
Who we'd be answering to.
DOTS.
Yep.
That's the part that sucks for me because I'm a picker. I like doing that stuff. So I'm at garage sales all the time.
Yeah. Antique stores.
But it most antiques, though, were made in the U.S.
Yeah, majority of it is, yeah.
Yeah,
most of the older stuff. So if it's made in the U.S., you can still sell it.
Right.
This doesn't apply to that. That's the thing you got to remember, is that it's only stuff. A college textbook company is the one who caused all this problem, which they've been robbing college students for years.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Yeah, I got robbed blind in college, too. Thanks for the call, Rob.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, they rearrange a couple example problems in there. Oh, new edition. Another $350, please.
Bunch of jerk faces.
Oh, I know. It's highway robbery. Anyway, more of your calls and text, 361-5557, email or text, am@hot1047.com. I just got another text. I'll restate where it stemmed from here, where this all started, and why this court case is going to the Supreme Court. I will explain exactly where it came from next. Hang on. Hot 104.7, Andy and Mel. It is 7:55 up to 52 today. This story with the resale law and the garage sales. Okay, at the beginning of the show, I forget that I haven't restated where this came from. At the beginning of the show, we started off with this at 6 a.m., and most people listening now probably didn't hear that. Okay, here's where this all started. There was a student from Thailand who went to Cornell here in the United States. And he got there and he goes to buy his textbooks and finds out that, wow, I can buy these textbooks back home in Thailand for way less than I can here in the U.S. So he calls back home. Hey, mom, can you send me blah, 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 blah. And so he did. That's what they did. And then I don't know if he turned this into a business where he bought them there. I'm guessing because just the textbooks alone that he used for college would not be worth $1.2 million.
Exactly. Well, he was selling them on eBay.
And so I'm guessing he just was buying them from there.
Which, don't people do that all the time?
Well, yeah, but they're usually buying them from wholesalers, not from overseas. Maybe they are. I don't know. I have no idea.
I think that they are.
Anyway, so the publisher of these textbooks, or one of these textbooks at least, Wiley is the name of the company. They weren't terribly happy with somebody making $1.2 million off their textbooks because they were buying them overseas.
Right.
So they sued him. Well, he countered with something that's called the, what is it called? The first sale doctrine, which has been part of U.S. law since 1908, which basically says copyright holders and, you know, manufacturers have right to the first sale. They don't have right to profits after the first sale.
Right.
Well, now it's being contested about it overseas because he got them overseas, resold them here where they sell them cheaper overseas. They sell them here for, you know, less than the suggested retail in the U.S. And so they're getting screwed out of basically the profits of new textbooks. I kind of get where the company is mad, but don't sell them that much cheaper overseas and it won't be a problem.
Exactly.
And that's where this all came from.
At that price everywhere.
Yeah. And things are usually different values, but that usually has to do with the exchange rate of a currency. Like, you know, the euro is worth more than the dollar.
Right.
So something is going to cost more here than it is there. But when you do the math, usually it's probably going to be pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also a supply and demand thing. You know, if lots of people want it, price goes up.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that's basically where this whole thing came from. October 29th, it'll be heard before the Supreme Court of the U.S. And we'll find out if your garage sale will be legal at Kingswood next year. Is basically what it comes down to. Amber's on the phone. How are you, Amber?
I'm doing all right. On my way to work, running late.
Yeah.
So this whole thing with the not being able to sell things overseas, I really don't see how this is actually going to go through.
Well, it's not a law that's trying to be pushed through the legislature. It's a Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court is going to make a decision, and their decision will basically decide how the law works.
Okay. I still don't think it'd go through, though, because it'd just be impossible to regulate. Impossible.
Well, there is that. I mean, there are. The only thing is they could go after bigger entities where lots of people are doing it, like eBay, Craigslist, Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's going to hurt the most. Are they really going to shut down the Kingswood rummage? I kind of doubt it.
I hope not.
Yeah. I just can't imagine them doing that or having the time to
I don't think garage sales are really going to be affected, but I mean, larger businesses, even some smaller businesses, could be affected by it, you know, when that is their business. How many consignment shops are there in this town?
A lot.
So, you know, they could be going after those, but are they going to go after mom and pop garage sales? I really doubt it. But
yeah, and I'm just a strong believer in is, you know, if I pay money for it, it's mine.
Yeah.
I can do with it what I please.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the only thing you can't do is, you know, take the designs or copyrights from it and remanufacture it yourself. You know, that sort of thing. You know, you can't take a design for a sweater and then make 800,000 of that sweater and sell them because that's someone else's design.
Right.
I mean, that I totally agree with.
But if I bought I bought this sweater and I don't want it anymore, I grew out of it or whatever, I just don't like it and I want to sell it, I should be able to sell it.
I think that is entirely okay. Thanks for the call, Amber.
Yep, have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, I got a text here that said, stop buying from overseas and make more jobs for Americans. That's a great notion, but the reality of it is, especially when it comes to clothing, so much clothing is made overseas.
That's just the thing. I mean, yeah, it's a great idea, but they can make it cheaper
It's not practical for the average American to only buy American clothing.
Mm-mm.
It's just it's not terribly practical. I mean, hell, go to the mall, go and tell me. I mean, maybe it can be done. I don't know. I'm just speculating because the only thing on my body today that was made in the U.S. was my baseball cap.
Oh, I haven't checked the rest of my clothing, but
go to the bathroom and see where your stuff was made.
But I know my sweater was not made here.
And I got another text. How would it affect charities like Goodwill? Well, that exactly. I mean, the story I found was on the Catholic Online website in their news section, and that's exactly why they're publishing the story, is because it's going to affect all those resale stores and
it's so many things.
Yeah.
Pawn shops, resale stores.
It would affect them too.
Everybody.
Technically.
Yeah.
In reality, would they be, you know, would the DOG go after them, the Department of Garage Sales? I doubt it.
DOGS.
Why do you have to add the S?
Because I just think that you have to have it on there.
Yeah, but it
garage sales
rhymes with
words.
DOC. That's why it's funny. Okay.
Sometimes it takes a second to get it.
No, I get it.
Okay.
But garage sales are two words.
Fun is on the way next. And I have another acronym drop on you. This one is six letters, and it spells sitcom.
Okay.
I'll explain what sitcom means next. Hang on.
Hot 104.7.com.